Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
All right, Entree Architect community, welcome to the backstage area of Context and Clarity. Every Thursday afternoon on Context and Clarity Live, Catherine McPhail and I and our live audience talk with a special guest to search for clarity around the things that matter most to you, the architect, no matter what your context is. You may be the employee of a firm dreaming of doing your own thing, or maybe you've had a firm for a year or 10 years or 20 years, and you're starting to rethink or reimagine what that firm could or maybe even should be. Every week, we cover topics that fall under the broad umbrella of the business of architecture, and they're all the need-to-know topics for the success of architects just like you. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff Eccles, and what you're about to listen to is the audio recording of a conversation that my co-host, Catherine McPhail, and I had with a special guest. Or will it be guests from the Context and Clarity community? All of this to break down last week's Context and Clarity Live conversation. So thanks for joining us as we all share our biggest takeaways and look for ways to apply what we heard in the Context and Clarity Live conversation to our own businesses. Let's get into it. All right, welcome to Context and Clarity Backstage. This is the time where we get to analyze, to break down, to give our biggest takeaways from our Context and Clarity Live conversation that we just had with Brian McCartney. Brian's the co-founder of ArcMark. He's an SEO. He's a self-proclaimed ArchiGeek. And we had a great conversation with Brian about SEO, about content for websites and architects' websites in general. And what we like to do after those Context and Clarity Live conversations is come backstage with a special guest who nobody knows who it is until this podcast episode is published, but we are joined tonight by Nicole Lindman. Nicole, welcome. Glad that you're here with us tonight, and glad that we're going to get this opportunity to break down the conversation with Brian and figure out what it meant to everybody. So welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
I'm also joined, as usual, by Catherine McPhail, the co-host of Context and Clarity Live. Catherine's joining us from Boston. Nicole's joining us from Arizona. I'm joining from Indianapolis, Indiana. So we're all over the place, which is one of the fascinating things about this, these tools that we have at our disposal. Welcome, Catherine. Glad that you're here as well to keep us in line, keep the wheels on the bus moving forward.
Hi, Jeff. Yeah, I think I take the wheels off the bus in this version.
Well,
I don't do much to keep them on, I don't think.
Okay, well, if that's what, if you're going to take the wheels off, then take the wheels off. That's fine.
Okay.
So Brian was talking about, which is a specialty, he's talking about SEO and websites and content. Started out with an explanation, fairly easy to understand explanation of what SEO was. He talked about three tiers, I think, of SEO. The sort of the back of house, the more technical, was the first one. The second one was the content on your website, and the third was basically the offsite things, the backlinks, which I don't know about anybody else, but that helps me understand a little bit better what this is all about.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those things where I've never really looked into too much and had never really put a focus on any of that. You know, we're working on tweaking our website and some of that stuff. And this year, our firm has kind of gone through a rebranding. We've been transitioning. I took over ownership of my firm at the beginning of this year. And we're kind of going through a rebranding, trying to figure out our identity this year. And I know I've done the Build Your Brand courses. I've done some of the challenges that have been through Entre Architect and through Context and Clarity. And there have been a lot of information on this type of topic of how to deal with the branding and what we should have on our websites and how to kind of put that information out there. And the SEO is one of those ones that's kind of like the back piece of that as we're trying to figure things out. So I know I've just now gotten to the point where I kind of know our identity of where I want things to go and what we want our future to be. And so now we're trying to go through and figure out how to put that information out there. We're in the middle of tweaking our website. Have not done anything on content creation. Never until a couple months ago, never really would have thought that I should or could or need to. But I'm starting to get more convinced on some of that. Never really thought about the SEO stuff too much. I'm like Brian was talking about. I'm one of those people that most of my work comes from referrals.
Yeah, you're pretty niche down, aren't you, Nicole? I mean, you do a certain thing and you're known for that.
We kind of specialize in fuel stations and convenience stores. And because that is such a niche market, it does help getting the word of mouth more in the referral base. But that also keeps us very limited to one type of client in one location. And so now as we're starting to get our systems in place in the office where more of my team they're getting the knowledge to do more things on their own, that we're more comfortable with the ideas of trying to branch out a little bit more, staying within our niche, but maybe geographically moving out of that a little bit more, or at least trying to market as opposed to just word of mouth and bring some more of those ideal clients into our firm. Right. So the talk what Brian was talking about with all the SEO stuff and everything too, that does make a difference in trying to do that. And so we're trying to figure out as we're going through this, what type of stuff we should utilize and how it could benefit us as we're trying to get beyond just the word of mouth.
Yeah. And I think I should have asked at the beginning, what's the name of your firm and where are you located, Nicole?
So our firm is KE Design LLC and we are in Tempe, Arizona. Our rebranding at the beginning of the year previously our firm was K Engineering and Design. And up until a couple of years ago, it was me and my predecessor, Zig. He started the company in 1992. So it's been around for several years with that niche all the way through. And he's taught me a lot in the years that I was working for him. He's slowing down on the work side and trying to move into the retirement, with the exception of the times I drag him back into work.
You leave him alone most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. I got to keep life interesting for him, though.
Sure. I'm guessing he's not going to be fully satisfied just dropping out all of a sudden. So, I was chuckling as he said it because I knew where this was going. But Brian mentioned the book from Marcus Sheridan, They Ask You Answer, which I read it when it first came out. I think, I want to say 2013 or before, and then he re-released it, a revised edition in 2019, which I just finished a week or two ago. And I was convinced then, I'm more convinced now that book, for everything that Brian said and everything that Brian talked about, there's some really technical stuff, tags and all this back of house stuff. I don't want to deal with that. I would rather hire somebody to deal with that. I'm pretty sure I could do a good job of messing that up. But for the rest of it, this They Ask You Answer book, it's a really understandable, simple framework for doing a lot of what Brian said, and I mean, it's right in the title, answering your ideal client's questions, which ones to answer, how to answer them, et cetera. And it gives you a nice framework. And I think a book like that, to me, it's almost a guidebook. And, you know, I recommend it to anybody that's listening to this, anybody that joined Context and Clarity Live earlier, because you could sit down and go step by step through it. Okay, we need this piece of content, this piece of content, this piece of content. Marcus makes a strong argument for controlling all of it in-house, which I think is interesting. And he even talks about the people you need to hire to do that. But you know, whether you do it in-house or you hire it out, I guess, having the information that you're ideal clients are looking for right there on your website is exactly what Google wants to happen, exactly what they reward. So whether we like the Google controlling everything or not.
It's there, whether we want it or not, it's there.
Yeah, I guess. I don't mean to complain too much about Google. Just Google, and since you're listening right now.
You know, always listening.
I have an assistant. I have an assistant who does the SEO for my like the back channel or whatever it is, however you put it. So supposedly she does that, and then I ask her, "Well, what are you doing?" She's like, "Don't worry about it." Okay. So is there any way I can see it? I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast, but I'm pretty sure she's not going to. But I mean, all of our photos are supposed to be captioned, but not in a. I mean, what is she doing? And then she said that there was like H1, H2, H3, H4 down the page as it goes down the page. I don't have any idea what that is, so I just have to believe her because I don't have the time to go do it myself.
What's your website built on? Are you in WordPress?
Yeah, I think it's WordPress, yeah.
So my guess is she's using probably Yoast SEO plugin, or there's another really popular one on WordPress, and it's mm-hmm. almost like filling out a form, and it kind of Yoast. I've used Yoast in the past. I'm not on WordPress anymore. I want
to
see.
Out. I hear you're supposed to be off of WordPress now. It's not a place to be.
Well, it's still a lot of SEO people will say WordPress is better for technical reasons that they have, but for me. I want to know less and less about the back end. I mean, I gave this example the other day. I used to be able to, not that I know a lot about cars, but I used to be able to work on cars that I've had in the past, you know, do change a motor for windshield wipers or change spark plugs or something like that. And then I bought a Mini Cooper and I opened the hood and I looked in and went, nope. And I closed it. I said, I don't ever want to look in there again. Too small, too compact, too complicated. And then I bought another Mini Cooper. And I've gotten to that point with the website. I don't want to dig into the guts of the website or worry about, you know, things, all of those things being updated. So I use Squarespace now, something that I like. But she could very well be using, I think you said she, right, your assistant?
Of course she's a she.
Okay. She could very well be using something like Yoast that, like I said, it basically, on the screen, it kind of looks like a form, and it grades you, gives you red light, green light, yellow light, and you can apply that to the images and the text and everything. So,
I don't know. She's taking care of all that, I guess. I just have to trust her.
Well, hopefully you can trust your
assistant. Hopefully she's using some of the repellent SEO that I'm hoping for.
Well, Brian said there's no repellent SEO.
Yeah, I figure my brain is filled with all the things that I need to know. That type of detail on the website is stuff that I don't need to know.
Right.
And the website we have at this point, when I first started working with Katie and having her come into our firm a year and a half ago, that was one of the first things I had her do was revamp our website, which it was the first website she ever built. So she didn't know either, but she was willing to spend the time looking in how to do it. And so now that we're starting to get a little bit more knowledgeable about what we're doing and things, we're going through and trying to retweak our website, but there's still, I don't know that I want to know everything on it. I just kind of like look at it and be like, yep, I want that picture there. And yep, that looks good. Or that sounds good. And that doesn't. And beyond that, I don't really care because my brain needs to focus on other things.
So what are you going to talk to Brian about tomorrow? Find out what you need to care about?
Maybe.
How did you get an appointment with him?
Oh, I haven't actually finished filling it out, but on his website, there is a scheduling for the initial phone calls.
So you did that during Context and Clarity today? Because you were so convinced?
At least for the initial conversation and see what he thinks of our website and our SEO and our stuff and what he thinks we should be doing. I know some of the discussions that I had with him when we were in Eccelstock kind of were interesting in some of the things. And I know he had some ideas on directions I should be going with some of it too. So I figure it may not be bad to get a...
Yeah, I'm not saying that you shouldn't call him, Nicole. I was just wondering if...
I figure it might be good to get that direct conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's a great commercial for Context and Clarity for future guests. Our audience sign up for calls with you during the time during. That you're on live.
I wonder, have you ever asked any of them how many leads they get from being on our show?
I have not.
I was just thinking about Nikita. And Nikita Morrell. We did an episode with her, Nikita Morrell, and I'm wondering what. Obviously, she looks at websites. Mm-hmm. And she kind of focuses more on the content rather.
Yeah, she's a copywriter.
Calling it content rather than calling it SEO.
Yeah,
we've debated whether we should reach out and hire her too. And we kind of like, who's the best person for what we're doing? And should we hire somebody to redo our website for us? Should we hire somebody to look at the content or the content creation part of it and what we could be doing on that side and not so much on the website side of it?
Right.
Which of the various, like everybody that's kind of been on here holds different pieces of, or specialties in it. So who's going to be the best for which part?
Yeah. Or do you need to sit down and develop an overall marketing strategy before you do any of that? That would be.
And who would we call for that we've had on if we wanted to just cobble together a helping team?
For that we've had on? That's a good question.
Marketing strategy. We have that 6 weeks in a row of marketers, so we should be able to come up with something.
Yeah. I'll have to think about that for a minute.
Well, I know we've gone through like the Build Your Brand course and kind of narrowed down our ideals on that. I've been doing some of the challenges for the ideal clients that through the Entre Architect. I'm doing the website one this week, which I think I'm still 3 days behind on the homework. So trying to keep up with that one. We've been going through today. Actually, we've been going through tweaking our website and trying to switch some things out based on the things we've learned. And one of my mastermind groups yesterday, they've been talking about whether or not we need to start doing reviews of people's websites. And so we were the volunteer. And so we spent the hour in the mastermind critiquing our website. So we're kind of going through a lot of that. What we think it should be from the information we've learned, and then we'll get experts involved to tell us that we were wrong on what we thought.
That's one of the Entre Architect mastermind groups, right?
Yes, it's that one. Yesterday was the Legacy Mastermind.
Okay.
So it's for people transitioning from ownership on companies or planning to, or that have gone through ownership transitions.
Yeah. Speaking of the challenge that we're running this week, so for anybody out there, by the time you hear this, the challenge will be over, but it's the 5 days to build a website that works challenge. In our backstage on, I guess that was yesterday, we had Carolyn Lydon, who's another SEO expert. Her firm is called Search Hermit, and she she did a great job of helping us understand all the ins and outs and what we need to do now and what we probably should leave to an expert, et cetera. And she was this, a lot of people caught on to this. She was talking about, SEO is her thing, obviously. She does it for clients. She's got an entire company that does SEO for clients. And she said, and my web developer, so she hires out all of her website stuff except for the SEO. So I really appreciated her saying that, because it's like, hey, I'm an expert in this, and I know I'm not an expert in this, so I hire somebody else to do it. And I think that's a really great lesson, especially for a lot of, not just architects, small business owners, but I think it's especially, it's especially telling, maybe. I don't know if that's the word I want, but there are a lot of architects, of course, that are experts in what they do, but also want to DIY other things, at the same time being annoyed that people want to DIY architecture type stuff. And so it's kind of refreshing to hear somebody that's, hey, I'm an expert in this much of the website piece of it, which is the SEO, and she leaves the other to a different professional. I thought, well, that's kind of cool to hear.
Yeah. That's one thing that I kind of learned a couple years ago, that I really do not know everything, and I don't want to know everything, and my brain can't handle knowing everything, and there's people that know what I don't know, and so I definitely need to take advantage of delegating and reaching out to those people. And I know first it was always, well, can I afford to hire people to do this stuff for me? Is it really worth it? Am I going to be happy with what they do? And every time I've taken those things that I thought about doing myself and then hired out to them, I've never regretted it. Well, it always seems to pay off, and just the peace of mind of not having to do it myself and worrying about the time management.
Yeah, I think, Catherine, to your example with your assistant, I mean, hopefully you can trust your assistant. I mean, that's obviously the goal of having an assistant. But, right. I would think about it as, if I had to go, and I've used, like I said, I used to be on WordPress. I've used Yoast SEO before, but if I had to jump into that and
that was just this whole learning curve.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how much time would I spend on that to learn it, relearn it, whatever, use it versus hiring someone else and the value of it? So,
Those people who call, and this was something that came up this morning on Clubhouse as well, but they mostly email these days, I guess, and say, I can help you with your SEO. I mean, can they just as, copywriting would be one thing, because that's a really specific, I think that it requires a certain level of skill to do the copywriting. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying SEO doesn't require some skill, but is it possible to hire those people to the people who just randomly cold email you to do the SEO and then have other people help more with your content? Assuming they're less expensive, these people who are cold calling you?
I'm suspicious. Maybe I'm a suspicious person. If someone cold emails me about anything, frankly, so hear this, whoever sends me 60 emails a week, cold email me, I'm not hiring those people. I would never cold email anybody about my services. It's just me. But I would do my own search and research and ask people for recommendations. I'm not saying that those people aren't skilled or they can't do it or they're scams or anything. That's not the way I roll. I don't know them at all. In half of them, when they show up in my inbox and I click on it, Google has tagged it as potential spam. So, if you're being tagged as potential spam and you're an SEO expert,
Yeah. I don't know. Those must work, or people wouldn't keep doing it, right? I mean, I wonder about that. They keep doing it. So somebody says yes, or they wouldn't keep doing it.
Okay, but it's a numbers game, though. If I were going to do that, the way that I would do that would be to go to whatever email system I wanted to use, MailChimp or Infusionsoft or whatever, whatever your preferred email service provider is, I would start buying lists of potential clients, because I get those emails every single day. Hey, do you want a list of architects? No, I don't want a list of architects.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't either.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I would go out, I would buy lists, and I would pay someone to put them in the correct CSV format, I think, to upload into my MailChimp or Infusionsoft or Salesforce or whatever. And I can automate the entire thing. And so it costs me nearly nothing to keep doing it, you know? And if it costs me nearly nothing to keep doing it, one or two victories is ROI.
Yeah, but I'd like to talk to those one or two victories and wonder what are they thinking?
And you need to make sure that whoever, if you're accepting those ones, that you're actually, they're the right person for you or knowledgeable in what you're doing or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So
my husband a couple years ago started his own business as an electrical contractor, and he had gotten a cold call from a guy that's like, well, make sure your company's listed on every search browser, and it's going to be on it. It'll be first on the list on all of it. And, one of the guys that he knows that runs a restaurant said, oh yeah, he had worked with that guy too, and it worked out really good for them. So we're like, well, we had a referral that it worked out good for this other company. So we're like, okay, let's see how it goes. He got 5 people on his website in a year.
Ooh.
And paid a lot of money for those 5 people, and none of those 5 turned actually into any work. So that was his first year in business to try and get his name out there. And they're like, yeah, you'll be in the yellow, like the actual print yellow pages too, and every website. It's going to be Google and Yelp and all of the everything, and it didn't get any help whatsoever.
Sad story.
Yes. So we kind of learned from that one, and that was a good lesson for starting the company, that was not the way to get the name out there. I think he did get 1 or 2 phone calls actually from having an ad in the yellow pages. So that he got more from that than he did from the website
and
paying to be on the Google like ads and everything else. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's another good argument for something that Brian said close to the end of the conversation tonight. This isn't the way he said it, it's the way I'm interpreting it, but you know, you can do a lot of these things yourself, or you can create content and. Or you know, someone inside your company type thing. It's within the realm of something you could certainly handle. And, you know, those kind of things can move the needle. Now, we didn't talk about the expectation, right? How long should this take? Right? If I write an article today, how long is it going to be before someone calls? Well, there's probably no answer to that, but it's, It is a long tail effort, most likely. But I think, you know, especially if we're doing it in house and it's essentially an investment of time, I think it's, there are a lot of things that we can do at very low cost that have much, much better promised ROI than answering one of these cold emails or whatever. Sorry for all those that send out cold emails. We're not trying to drag you here tonight.
We are trying to drag you. Stop sending the cold emails, for heaven's sake. How many of our listeners do you think actually send cold emails?
I'm thinking not that many.
Well, you know, and I know that I'm kind of maybe grouchy today, as I said this morning, but I do not want anybody looking me up on the internet and then calling me that way. Like, I want people to be referred to me because that kind of helps them come in pre-qualified a little bit. So I haven't written it down lately, but I'll have to go through the however many leads I had over the last year. You know, so let's say I have 50 leads and then I get 25 projects, let's say. And then how many of those, like, what was the balance of people from the internet I took all the content off my website, so, and including my phone number. So I'm hoping, kind of maybe putting a vibe out that just don't call me. How about that?
But your goal, your goal.
Yes, I know
is,
my goal should be attracting the perfect client. Yeah, but right now I'm not.
Yeah, and your goal is to change the quality of clients.
I'm trying to stem the bleeding. I'm just trying to get it all to stop for a while so I can catch up.
Okay.
Live a more balanced life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing that Brian said, and is another argument for having the right content on your website, is that when someone refers someone to you, that word of mouth thing, that person that's being referred to you is still going to your website.
Yeah.
And so it's, and we've been talking about this in the challenge this week too. It's, if the wrong people are showing up, coming through the website and showing up, then there's probably a problem with our messaging on the website. We've got some things to tweak. Although, one thing Amy Baker said this morning on Clubhouse that I thought was fascinating was, so a little background on Amy Baker. She's in Michigan. She works mainly on commercial projects and does a lot of spec writing for other architects. And she says she has a special phone number set up. It's probably a Google Voice number or something like that, that is the number on her website. And she says invariably, the vast majority of the voicemails she gets are for people looking for someone to design a home. And it says right on her website, and you can see this in the preview. I Googled it while we were talking this morning. You can see this in the preview. It doesn't say it in the page title, but in the preview of the content on the website, it says she's a commercial architect. And, you know, I think that's a pretty fascinating example, because I think we can assume that that means that people are either not actually clicking through to her website and seeing that, you know, hey, Amy's a commercial architect, or, well, I guess this is the same thing, or they're just looking at the phone number, you know, when she comes up on Google and just, you know, straight mm-hmm. calling her. Yep. From there. So either way, I assume they're not reading, unless they don't know what commercial architect means. Maybe that's a language problem. I don't know.
We haven't had too many that have gone through our website that we've had issues with. But I know several months ago I took in, kind of got onto the Yelp business page and set that up with our information properly in our Google page. And then all of a sudden, and it says on there that we do commercial architecture. It says that we specialize in field projects and stuff like that. And every contact we got after that, or within shortly after that, was all for residential. And so it was people just like, oh, it's an architect, and click.
Yeah, I think
my information on those, because we were just opening up and putting information on there. It was getting us completely wrong. People that came through.
Yeah, I think there's a broad lesson to learn there. So the suggestion I had for Amy is, we were kind of kicking that around for a little bit this morning, and you know, my thought was, well, what about just changing what your voicemail says? It says, hey, I don't do houses. You put it a different way, but maybe that's the really analog answer to that.
Yeah, maybe it's better to keep it very clear like that.
Yeah, because if they're going to your website or Yelp or whatever, not actually reading it or comprehending what, you know, the more I think of it, what does commercial architect mean in layman's terms? You know, do they equate that with like being a real architect or being a professional architect? Maybe there's a language disconnect there.
Yeah.
We see. I seem to find that anybody that gets to our website and then calls us and says they've looked at our website are people that are actually in our niche that are looking for our services, which is a good thing. So it does seem to filter out the rest of the people. And I, it seems most of the people that I think look at our website are that during the times we've been hiring. And so potential hires will look at it and get interested in that type of, in our company based on that. But it does seem to filter out quite a bit, I think, that we're not getting too many calls outside of our market. But I think, I don't think our website really gets used that much even within our market. And I don't know how visible we are to it. So I think that's one of the things that I need to work on more of is how to make it where what I'm doing is actually showing, being seen by the people that we want it to be seen by. And I know I talked to Brian previously about the content creation and some of that, and using whether I should be doing some of that, doing blog posts or something on our website or even our social media to try and show that we can be that trusted advisor in our knowledge base, and that I do spend a lot of time keeping up with kind of what the future trend, current trends are and future trends of the industry, and do a lot of research on it so I can stay on top of what's going on. And so to be able to show that we can do that, and that we can provide that service. And then with transitioning, I needed to be able to show that that 50 years that Zig had into the company and all of his expertise is not really gone. And I've been, I joined him 18 years ago. So I have 18 years in the fuel industry learning from him. So I need to make sure we're portraying that that knowledge base is not leaving with the transition, and that we still have that expertise here. And I don't think we're really showing that anywhere at this point.
I think that that's a really important point. So someone during Context and Clarity Live, I think it showed up as Facebook user, so I don't know who it was, but they said something to the effect that they realized that what was on their website should be designed or written for new prospects, not for their repeat clients or their referral clients, because those were already coming via word of mouth. So the website just becomes reinforcement for that referral, but it should be designed for cold leads, perhaps. They didn't say it that way, but people they didn't know. And I thought that was a really, really smart comment.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the process we're kind of getting through now, where I think we've done enough work or figuring out who our identity is as we're transitioning, but now we need to make sure how to portray that out as a public image.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, the point that your website is for whoever that is, for that ideal client, that's an important point, and that the SEO is for the ideal client. Contents for the ideal client is, we've been immersed in this with all of these context and clarity topics all week, and then this challenge that we've got coincidentally running at the same time on websites for architects. It's a lot of information about it this week. Well, Nicole, go ahead, Catherine.
Well, I was going to say, it's been a lot of information about SEO, and still I don't really, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't really know what Brian does exactly. So I'd be interested to hear from you, Nicole, what happens. I mean, hopefully I know that he makes the right blog posts, but does he then also do the backstage stuff, or does he go through your website and try to show you how it's not tailored to your ideal client? Anyway.
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it does help bringing some of those clients to our website that aren't currently going there, and see if we do start getting some of that, see that effect coming in.
Right.
And hopefully not see all of the people that I want to do my residential remodel for a gas station architect website.
What's it? The Brady Bunch movie? Where Mike Brady, he designed the house that the Brady Bunch lived in, and then every design he did in the Brady Bunch movie looked just like the house. And I think he did a gas station that looked like the Brady Bunch house.
I just remember the one that was like a powder puff. A design that he had made for some.
I'm still trying to figure out how he managed to support six kids and have a live-in maid. I have no kids and no live-in maid on an architect's salary. So,
well, that was. But I guess
if he didn't have to do any work and he could just resell that same design over and over again, that's a good start. A good start to it.
Yeah, I think Mrs. Brady brought some money to the marriage. I think that's the way it has to go, right?
I screwed that one up then.
Yeah, so did I.
Well, in our next episode of Context and Clarity Live, we'll be talking to Mike Brady.
That would be nice. Is he alive? That guy, I think he's gone.
Mm, I think he's gone, yeah.
Hmm. We'll never be able to figure out his tricks.
Well, we'll have to do some investigation to figure it out. Well, Nicole, we really appreciate you coming backstage on Context and Clarity Live, or Context and Clarity backstage with us. I really enjoy these little breakdown sessions and figuring out what people took away from these conversations. Of course, we thank Brian McCartney for joining us for Context and Clarity Live. But Nicole, thanks for sharing what you're working on and what you learned from this. And maybe we'll get to hear what you learned from Brian after you have your call with him. So, thanks for this. Good luck with everything you're working on and the website as well as the business. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. Catherine, thanks for spending another hour with me on these Context and Clarity conversations.
Well, I always love spending hours with you, Jeff.
I don't even know that I enjoy spending hours with me. So thank you for being so kind. And to all of you out there that are listening in the future to this Context and Clarity backstage, we appreciate you. Thank you for listening. You probably showed up for Context and Clarity Live, so we thank you for that as well. And we'll be back to Context and Clarity Live next week with a brand new guest and a brand new topic. It'll be risk management next week for architects. So we check us out Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Twitch, on YouTube, in the Entree Architect YouTube channel, on LinkedIn, and in the Entree Architect Community Facebook group. As always, simulcast to all of those places. And if you're interested in these topics, we're on the Clubhouse app every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern with our Context and Clarity 30-minute coffee talks as well. So lots of places to do Context and Clarity. All conversations revolving around finding clarity for the topics that matter most to you, the architect. So thanks again for joining us, and hope that I'll see you around sometime somewhere soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Did you know, can I just tell you one thing that I did not bring up? But what's her name? What was in the housekeeper's name? Alice. Alice was 45 years old in that show.
Alice. Yeah?
Yeah, she was 45. Well, when I was a kid, I thought she was just super old, and she was like, she had that butcher chasing her, and she was like, her life was over, right? She was old and washed up.
And the older we get, the younger all those ages seem.
But, yeah, okay. But objectively, it's not even me. 45 is not as old as I thought Alice was.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm all right. I just found this out a couple days ago, though, so it's fresh for me. So
you've been studying Brady Bunch?
No, I mean, I lived it. That is something I did watch on TV. But I saw, there was this person on TikTok, and she puts hair onto people from the old days.
What?
She photoshops long hair, like a hair that a modern 46-year-old person, woman, would have. And so it just changes their whole look. I'll have to find it and send it to you, Jeff.
And you too,
Nicole, if you want to see it.
That actually helps me understand a little bit, I think, because I think probably, you know, what are those sayings? Like, 50 is the new 40, or, you know, that type of thing.
I don't know what you call those sayings, but yeah.
So, like, yeah, I could see the point. At 45... A 2021 45-year-old probably is a much younger image than a What year would that have been? 1968, 1969, 1970, yeah. Something like that. Then a 1968, 45
year old. Yeah, so there's this woman on TikTok who tries to see what they would like and look like if they were having
current
contemporary
styles.
Styling. Yeah. Hmm. And they just had a different style back then. It was like you went old lady really early in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, she wore the blue maid's uniform and for most of the show.
I know,
show.
She wasn't trying too hard, I know, but I'm just saying that I'll just send it to you, Jeff.
Yeah, I can give it another 20, 30 years, although at this point that was, 50 years ago, mm-hmm. 40 years ago for that. So by then the lifespan of people with medicines and everything like that is probably going to get longer, that they're probably going to be 80-year-olds. It's going to be the new 40.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
70 is the new 30.
But I did read that you're not old until you're 65. No, no, no. You're still middle-aged. I can't remember, but I was just relieved to know that I'm middle-aged, young still. Not only am I not old, I am still young.
You're not old.
I know an 83-year-old that has more energy than I do. So
I know. It's just
it can happen.
Just a amount of time passed on this earth, I guess.
Yeah, my
I gotta
wife.
Go.
All right, bye.
I'm gonna get in trouble. All right. Bye, Nicole. Bye, Jeff.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Catherine. Bye, Nicole. Yeah. All right. Well, now you know what we thought and what we're going to do with what we learned. But what did you think? What did we miss? I really hope that there was some big takeaway from the Context and Clarity Live conversation or from our breakdown right here that will help you with your business. DM me on Instagram or on Twitter and let me know what your takeaways were. You can find me on all the socials at Jeff_Eccles. So send me a message and let me know what your takeaway was. And if you want more conversations like this, subscribe to the Context and Clarity podcast and leave us an honest review and rating. Those things really help us to get the message out and help us to help more architects just like you. Oh, and follow Context and Clarity on Instagram as well. There you can get a heads up on everything that's coming up. In our next episode, Catherine and I will host Context and Clarity Live again with a new special guest and a new theme for next week. There's always something new to look forward to. And if you love content like this, check out Gable Media. It's a multimedia network for people that care about the built environment. And it's also the home of Context and Clarity. With Gable's growing family of podcasts and video channels, I know you'll find something there that interests you. You can learn more at GableMedia.com. That's GABLMedia.com. And finally, if the topic of today's episode is of particular interest to you and you'd like to dig deeper into it, then join me over in the Entree Architect Community Facebook group. That's where every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern, I host Context and Clarity Conversations, and we take topics just like this and we dig deeper. We have a conversation in real time to try to find more clarity around the things that matter most to you. So thanks for listening. I hope our time together has inspired you to think about your community and your practice and how you can support those around you. Catherine and I will be back for our next episode. And in the meantime, I hope you'll join me and the Entree Architect community on Facebook today at 4 p.m. Eastern so that we can help each other find more clarity around the topics that matter most, no matter what your context may be.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England is diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glenn Gary. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.